protect you becomes overwhelming.
A faint smile, too faint for a man as brash and as wild as Valentian.
You can get security to kick me out.
Silver knew she'd never do that. Not to this man who had given her sanctuary and who'd helped save her life.
You ordered enough waffles for a herd of bears.
Appearing mortally insulted, he picked up the fork she'd dropped onto the plate.
Bears are never in a herd, Starlight,
he said censoriously.
That's for the four-legged leaf-eaters.
He shuddered.
Have another bite.
Silver acquiesced. By the time they left the cafe, she was receiving a steady stream of telepathic alerts on pieces in the human changeling media about her and Valentian's adorable breakfast date. The Psynet beacon had printed a curter description, but had given it more space than she'd expected, especially in light of the news on Bowen Knight. When she mentioned that to Valentian, he shrugged.
We're the bright, sunny life interest story to balance out the dark.
Amber retreating from his eyes, his next words harsher.
Stasia messaged me while you were in the restroom. It's touch and go with Bo.
That's not good news for world stability. Keeping an eye on the Psynet for further news on the topic, she said,
How have you explained why I'm no longer living in Denholm?
Valentian touched his hand to her lower back as she got into his monster of a vehicle. She should have reminded him of her earlier comment, but it seemed a petty response to what she was certain had been an unconscious act on his part. Valentian touched the people he loved. It was part of his nature. Asking him to stop was like asking a tree to stop giving shade under its branches. Impossible.
Our clanmates think you're staying in the city because you need to work on a big MNET project that makes it hard for you to be at Denholm,
he said.
They just assumed, and I didn't correct them.
He closed the door and came around to get into the driver's side.
We'll keep that going for a while. Then I guess I'll have to tell everyone we've separated because you're really mad at me.
Silver blinked. Changeling mates didn't separate.
No.
No?
To effectively say you were unable to court your mate back to you, it'll damage your standing in the eyes of not only your clan, but other changelings. Stonewater doesn't need that.
It was the stability of the region, she told herself, that was driving her decision.
We'll think of something else.
Silver fucking merchant.
Valentian began to drive on those admiring words.
I'll leave the solution up to that beautiful brain of yours.
Even as Valentian said that, even as he played with her as the puppy inside him wanted to do, he was scared. It wasn't an emotion with which he was familiar. He was an alpha bear, had been born that way, confidence flowing through his veins. Even when Silver had been in the operating theater, he'd been grimly hopeful, not afraid. He'd flat out refused to feel fear. But this Silver, she was different in ways he'd never expected. She blazed as bright, her intelligence cutting. But she wasn't the woman who'd kissed him, who'd been so patient with Dima's tendency to cling to her, who'd admitted she loved her brother and that she'd lay down her life for her grandmother. Neither was she the woman he'd courted and teased at the start. That woman had been ice, but he'd felt the warmth of the fire beneath, his bear drawn to the heat. This Silver was endless ice, no hint of the fire. Even when she'd reacted to his challenge with the waffles, he hadn't been able to feel her. It was a staggering blow. Part of him, a huge part of him, had been convinced the strange dormant mating bond between them would speak through the massive changes in her brain. Not once had he allowed himself to so much as consider that he'd have to let her go after their 10 promised dates. He swallowed the tearing hurt that wanted to grab him by the throat, permitting himself to feel only a fierce pride and relief. Everything he'd said to her was true. For her life, he'd accept any pain. In the years and decades to come, she would change the world, and she'd do it without being crippled by an unwanted ability that had caused her so much pain it had driven his tough Starlight to cry. For that outcome, man and bear both would accept a lifetime of the most intense loneliness, if that was what awaited at the end of this road.
Am I allowed to suggest one of the 9 remaining dates?
As long as it's not staring at matching organizers while drinking tasteless concoctions.
In truth, he'd do exactly that if she asked. Both parts of him just wanted to be close to her. Some of the dates he planned would be for the bear, so it could sit next to her, drink her in. Later, not yet. The bear was still too hurt to act rationally in her presence. Silver didn't reply for 2 long minutes.
My apologies, she said afterward.
Telepathic call?
A developing situation in Bahrain, a landslide that may have done major damage.
She checked something on her organizer.
Ripples are also beginning to develop from the attack on Bowen Knight.
Anger boiled in his blood once again at the fact a good man had been taken down by a Mudok who couldn't even look him in the eye. Bears did not have any time for those who murdered from a distance.
I'll get you to your office.
Moscow traffic wasn't bad, with the majority of commuters choosing to use the sleek sky trains that crisscrossed the air high above the streets. It was the drivers who were insane. Like the man who just stopped his vehicle in the middle of the street to exchange insults with a pedestrian. Creative insults, too. Someone's mother was apparently a goat. A goat who ate shit. Normally, Valentian would have found it funny. Not today. Getting out of his vehicle, he went to lean one arm on the roof of the insult-spewing driver's car.
My mate needs to get to work, and you're in the way,
he said in a very reasonable tone of voice. The bearded driver gulped.
Alpha Nikolaev!
It came out a squeak.
I'll move!
Спасибо.
Silver shot him a thankful glance once he got back in the vehicle and they continued on their way.
I'll be liaising with my team about the situation in Bahrain for most of the journey.
Saving hundreds, possibly thousands of lives in the process. Being Silver fucking Merchant. His mate and the most incredible woman he'd ever known. Bringing the vehicle to a stop by her office, the area in front of a strip of green planted with evergreens that spoke of the city's changeling influence, he went to open her door. She swiveled around and stepped out.
Спасибо.
A pause.
The date I intended to suggest? It was to go out for ice cream.
Eyes of clear silver held his.
It seems only right.
His bear rubbed against his skin, wanting out, wanting to wrap itself around her.
We'll save that for last.
Silver nodded.
I have to go. It looks like there's been a second slip in a more remote region.
With that, she was striding into her office in those ridiculous heels she wore as if they were boots, so stable on them that he wanted to pounce on her just to see if she'd wobble. He didn't think she would. Not his mate. The Unknown Architect. The architect of the consortium looked at the reports feeding out through the media. Bowen Knight had been shot. Some of the articles said he'd died at the scene, others that he was critically wounded. No official confirmation either way from the Human Alliance. A grainy video taken by a tourist was the only available visual. It showed a knot of people around what must have been Knight's body. His sister, Lily, was the most recognizable, her hands on her brother's chest and her wet hair hanging around her face as she either did CPR or tried to stem bleeding. Reports said Knight had been shot in the back, however, so that'd be the exit wound. Unless, of course, the latest report out of Venice was true, and the bullet had been designed to fragment inside him, causing catastrophic damage. Chances of survival in the latter scenario? Close to zero. Knight's violent death hadn't been in the architect's plans. Yes, Knight had to die, but it was meant to be a stealthy elimination that could be put down to an accident or natural causes. The consortium wasn't a radical organization out for notoriety. It was a shadow organization designed to secure maximum gains for those in the group. Had the architect's plans gone as intended, no one would even be aware of their existence. However, that was done. What was important now was keeping as low a profile as possible while they brought the rest of their plans to fruition. Did one of us order the recent high-profile hit? The architect sent out the message via the anonymized chat room they currently use to communicate. It was clunky and old-fashioned, but it was also close to impossible to hack. Each of the members would have received a phone alert of the architect's posting. No confirmations. That didn't mean it hadn't been masterminded by one of the group. The architect had made an excellent decision in bringing together the world's most ruthless and power-hungry people, people who cared nothing for morality or peace when those things didn't serve their bottom line. But there was an inherent weakness in any such group. These individuals could not be trusted. They were also fully capable of taking an action that went against the better interests of the group, if such an action would help them on a personal level. The architect was particularly interested in the possible motives of one member of the consortium. He'd been approached to join the group not simply because of his position of power, but also because of his vocal dislike of racial integration on any level. He wanted Psi, humans, and changelings in their separate worlds. It was only during silence, he'd said, that humans had come to any kind of power. However, the outspoken male was by no means the only possible suspect. Others believed Bowen Knight was dangerous and should be removed from the playing board. He'd proven too effective at uniting the human race into an even bigger financial juggernaut. More and more family groups and businesses were adding the Human Alliance logo to their own. Bowen Knight had also managed to build strong relationships with a growing number of powerful changeling packs, and, crucially, he'd begun to meet with Psi family groups to see if business cooperation was possible between the two disparate races. The Alliance called him its security chief, but he was its effective CEO. The ostensible leader was 70 years old, a man who was respected for his advice, but who turned up only on those occasions when the Alliance needed a media-friendly talking head to represent them. Apparently, the older male was very happy with this arrangement. The architect knew because consortium spies had subtly sounded him out with the intention of flipping him with promises of power. Every single spy had reached the same conclusion. Giovanni Somme is unshakably loyal to Bowen Knight. He understands he's a figurehead, but Bowen speaks to him often and has taken his advice on more than one occasion. Before being raised to his current position, he was consigned to an obscure desk job despite his experience and decades of service to the Alliance. There is nothing we can give him that will make him turn against his leader. Somme, however, could not step into Knight's shoes. Knight's loss would cripple the Alliance, but it would most probably also turn the spotlight firmly back on the consortium, wrecking the architect's plans. Because unlike others in the consortium, the architect didn't just want money or a certain level of political influence. The architect wanted power. If that meant cleaning house and eliminating some of the looser cannons in the consortium, so be it. Chapter 43. Don't shortchange your legacy by settling for a mediocre match. Accept only the gold standard. Advertisement for Key and Charleston, genetic fertility specialists. Silva returned to the apartment complex at 11:30 that night. She was physically and mentally exhausted, the dual natural disasters having had a far worse impact than anyone had predicted. Evacuations were still in progress, notwithstanding that every single group and individual she'd contacted had pitched in to assist. At this point, there was nothing Emnet or Silver could do. As always, their job was to coordinate resources in the immediate aftermath and get the correct people in position, then back off unless further assistance was requested. Emnet would remain on call, of course, but now that all necessary parties had been connected, the local coordinators held the reins. Despite Silver's immediate action in initiating a disaster plan, casualties were forecast to be in the hundreds. Silver knew the result Emnet had achieved was far better than any possible outcome prior to the creation of the Worldwide Emergency Network. Rescue had been underway in a matter of minutes, with more help coming in from across the region. None of that made the outcome a good one in her personal ledger. Losing even a single individual went against her perfectionist tendencies. She had to learn to manage that. Today, her fierce concentration in attempting to do the impossible, save every life, had led to a pulsing headache behind her eyes. It had no doubt been exacerbated by the fact she hadn't stopped to intake any nutrition. That wasn't about to change. She'd forgotten to order a delivery of nutrition bars and drinks after finishing the final items in her pantry this morning. That food had come in a hamper, courtesy of Stonewater. Silver wasn't used to forgetting such essentials, but she wasn't concerned, aware she was still regaining her equilibrium after life-altering surgery. The thought had just passed through her mind when she entered her home to the soft glow of a light she'd turned on via her organizer. Placing her work bag on a nearby chair, she removed her heels and walked toward the kitchen to get a glass of water. She went motionless at first sight of her dining table. Sitting on it was a large jar of nutrient mix. Beside it, an even larger box of protein bars. A bowl of glowing gold glass veined with bronze sat next to that. It held a number of shiny red apples. The variant Valentian had fed her slices from as they discussed her conditioning.
All I'm saying is, how can you possibly have all the data if you've never let go of your silence to see what happens?
Deep and a little rough, his voice echoed in Silver's head. She took a breath when her lungs began to protest, walked on quiet feet to the table. The note was propped up beside the card she hadn't thrown away. Picking it up, she read words written in a strong and messy black scrawl that was deeply familiar.
I heard you hadn't had a food delivery. I stocked you up. All seals initialed, so you know they haven't been tampered with. Eat. V.
Silver didn't even bother wondering how he'd gotten in. This was a changeling complex, and he was an alpha bear. After mixing up a tall glass of the nutrient drink, she picked up a protein bar and an apple, then went to sit in the padded window seat that looked out onto the green space that was the heart of the complex. Despite the late hour, a group of adults lingered below. They had beers in hand, but weren't really drinking, the interaction more about socializing than alcohol. At this time of night, even the usual bear-wolf animosity was dropped in favor of a quiet drink to round off the day. Silver knew she'd be welcomed with open arms should she wander down, but she wasn't in the correct frame of mind for casual social interaction. She'd learned to do it as a teenager to put those of the emotional races at ease, and she'd come to like it during her stay with Stonewater. But her memories of that time were blurred outlines, distant echoes viewed through a thick pane of glass. She stared at her meal and found herself choosing to pick up her phone. The number was pre-programmed. Valentian answered within seconds, his voice a deep rumble that sank into her veins. Spasiba for the food, she said. I needed it tonight.
You never need to thank me for feeding you,
was the gruff response. Have you eaten? A pause, a harsh inhale.
I had a burger an hour ago before I came out for my patrol shift. Chaos made the kids' favorites today. Burgers and fries and pizza.
A healthy spread. Laughter, loud and unrestrained, as Valentian should always laugh. His next words, however, were in no way light.
You must have had a brutal day. I saw the extent of the disaster on the news bulletins.
Too many people died.
A lot more people lived.
Silver realized she'd drunk more than half the nutrient drink. Setting it aside, she unwrapped the protein bar without hanging up on a conversation that should have been over in 30 seconds at most. She'd thanked the Alpha for his courtesy, achieved the purpose of her call.
Are you running the patrol alone?
Yes. Didn't want to inflict my mood on anyone else.
Silver knew there were many layers to that statement. Part of it had to do with her, but not all. Is there a problem in Denholm?
Nothing major. Normal idiocy.
Tell me. It was a command. A grumbling sound came over the line.
I'm the alpha here.
Silver knew how to hold her own against him by now. I'm an alpha in waiting.
Yes, you are.
Was that pride she heard?
Sergei's having a difficult time accepting he's no longer part of the command structure. He's dominant enough that his position as a senior isn't in doubt, but...
You can't trust him like you do the men and women who supported you from day one, Silver completed. He must understand that.
He's a bear, Starlichka.
An exasperated tone.
Why are you expecting him to be reasonable?
I'll explain it to him if you wish.
What, by killing him?
I've gained control over my murderous impulses.
Hmm.
He said suspiciously.
I won't take you up on the offer just yet. This is about union, not division. I'll give him chances to prove himself, regain his place at his alpha's side.
You're an excellent alpha. Silver didn't know why she said that. Valentian knew his own worth.
I'm an excellent mate, too.
Words that held more than a little of the bear's possessive wildness.
Never forget who you are to me. You say the word and I'll be at your side no matter the battle.
Silver put down the empty protein bar wrapper. Even though I can give you nothing that changelings value? Not companionship, not touch, not children?
No matter what.
A heavy pause, followed by...
Though I wouldn't say no to a couple of pint-sized Silver-Valentian hybrids. Psi do genetic matches, right? We'd make seriously tough, seriously smart kids together. Think about it.
Silver didn't tell him she'd already thought about it. You're right.
I am?
She could almost see his mouth drop open.
I think I'm hearing things. Give me a minute to thump sense into my skull.
Ignoring his playful words, she told him the rational reason for her response. The child of an alpha bear and beta merkant is apt to be a threat on multiple levels. Also, I've concluded that despite those who would stop the tide, the future will be shaped by individuals who are the embodiment of Trinity.
You're beta nothing.
As long as my grandmother lives, she is our alpha. It was a matter of respect and of a position earned.
Okay, I'll give you that. I'm too scared of Ina to argue.
Silver knew full well that Valentian Nikolaev was scared of no one.
So,
he said,
you're up for mingling super-smart merkant genes with super-tough, slightly aggravating bear genes?
She rubbed her fingers over the shiny red flesh of the apple. As long as you understand, it will always be a full co-parenting agreement.
Huh.
A rasping sound that told her he was scratching his jaw, her mind filling with countless other times she'd seen him do the same.
I figured a merkant, my merkant, would be possessive and ask for full custody.
Attempting to take an alpha bear's child from him would be a recipe for certain disaster. Valentian would never give up rights to his child. And a child with you and me as committed parents, and my family plus the clan as interested parties, would be safer than if we put that child in a vault. Valentian took too long to reply, so long that she thought he was about to reject her offer. She began to think up counterarguments, because now that she'd decided on the clear advantages of this course of action, she refused to be thwarted.
Sorry.
Valentian's deep voice in her ear.
Had to pick up and relocate the wild bear cub that decided to go exploring and nearly fell into a small crevasse.
The image reminded her of Dima, and of how Valentian would throw the child high up in the air, then catch his screaming, laughing body in arms so safe, No child was ever scared when he was in the vicinity.
How is Dima? Has he recovered from his twisted ankle?
It was Nova who'd told her that bit of information during one of Silver's calls to check on the clan. Stonewater still considered her their Alpha's mate. It was her responsibility to live up to that status. If she didn't, it would reflect badly on Valintian.
He's running around attacking unsuspecting clanmates like a champ,
Valintian confirmed.
And any time you're ready to create that hybrid of ours, just say the word.
I'll consider the optimum timing.
Silver's eyes fell on her timepiece. It was well past midnight. She needed to sleep so she could function at her best the next day, but she was having difficulty ending the conversation. The words, "stay safe tonight," exited her mouth without her conscious volition.
You get to bed. Dream berry dreams.
She hung up before she could make any more inexplicable statements. When she slipped into bed not long afterward, the apple on her bedside table, it was to the realization that her headache was gone. Humans against Psi manipulation mounted another series of attacks the following day, beginning at 5 a.m. Moscow time. Not in the city itself, but Silver and her team were kept busy coordinating the massive emergency response that strained resources in several corners of the world. Rapidly considering their options, she contacted Black Sea using the code she had for them under the Trinity Accord. While the water-based changelings were nominally part of the Accord, they were openly wary of it. To date, she'd only requested their help on rare occasions because most of their people were out at sea. At least two of today's attacks, however, had taken place near large bodies of water, so Black Sea might have people who could assist. The voice that answered was curt and male.
Malachi Reese.
Silver Merchant on Mnet business, she said before laying out her request.
We'll assist anywhere we have people.
Reese responded at once.
What do you need?
Silver read out her list. Reese told her which ones were doable before saying,
The first location is impossible, too inland for any of our people to call it home. But there's a small owl wing within a half hour's flight, not officially part of Trinity, but they'll respond to a call for humanitarian aid.
Do you have their contact details?
After noting them down, she said,
If your people need resources on the ground, contact Mnet.
We can take care of ourselves.
Mnet has supply lines across all three races. Don't be foolish because of pride or isolationist tendencies.
A short pause, the next words Reese spoke, holding what might have been bemusement.
When I heard Valintian Nikolaev mated you, I thought it must be a mistake. Now I see you're more than capable of handling an alpha bear. As you said, Ms. Merchant, we won't be foolish, and we will access resources as needed.
He hung up. Silver continued to work.
Silver?
Devi stuck her head around the corner of Silver's office, the Stonewater clanmate having asked if she could intern at Mnet. Silver had cleared it on the understanding that the internship wouldn't lead to a permanent position. Devi had to put in her time, gain the same level of experience as others on the team before she could apply for any such position.
You've completed the phone contacts I asked you to make? She asked the younger woman.
Yes, but I have a call for you from Lily Knight. She says she can't get through to you on your direct line.
Silver glanced at the small mobile comm on her desk. Every single line was running hot, the calls going to her team while she dealt with the most critical matters.
Put her through on my private phone.
The call came in on visual.
Lily,
she said, taking in the gray-eyed woman of Asian descent who was the Human Alliance's highly photogenic communications liaison. Over their acquaintance, Silver had come to appreciate that Lily Knight wasn't only a pretty face. The other woman had a titanium spine and an unflinching work ethic that Silver had relied on more than once already, but even the expert makeup on Lily's face couldn't hide the deep purple shadows under her eyes.
Is it Bowen?
Chapter 44. If a male bear attempts to feed you, narrow your eyes and take a hard look. Unless that bear is related to you, chances are high that he's being devious and branding you as his without ever saying a word. From the March 2080 issue of Wild Woman magazine, Skin Privileges, Style, and Primal Sophistication. Lily shook her head.
No change.
Her cheeks were hollow, her skin devoid of its usual health.
I wanted to let you know we're hearing rumors that the Anti-Trinity Human Group might have been funded by the Patel conglomerate.
Silver did a quick Cynet search, found the data.
The Patel conglomerate's major assets are in energy resources. They'll suffer no negative effects should Trinity succeed.
United or divided, the world needed energy. Lily ran a hand through her hair, the silky black strands falling back perfectly in place around her face afterward.
I don't think this had anything to do with economic factors, not like with the consortium.
Silver ignored the messages flashing up on her organizer and lighting up her telepathic senses.
Why?
She asked Lily, just as her search brought up another Patel asset, a small pharmaceutical company that specialized in the development of cutting-edge drugs. An easy source of a unique poison.
Akshay Patel, Lily told her. The CEO has consistently opposed integration when we've raised it within the Alliance. He believes humans can only thrive if we shut out the other groups and grow strong behind impenetrable walls. Do you want me to pass this information to Caleb?
From where it would go to the ruling coalition of the Psi.
No, the situation is being handled.
Lily's eyes flicked left and down.
I wanted you to know in case you run into roadblocks where the Patel conglomerate controls the workforce. They employ a lot of people in certain areas.
Thank you.
But, Lily added, you can tell your mate. It'll save me looping him in. According to my brother, the bears have claimed us as family and can be trusted to look out for our interests.
Lily's voice hitched.
Until Bo wakes to say any different, I'm going with his judgment calls.
After rubbing her face, the drawn woman glanced at her watch.
I have to go. Press conference in 2 minutes. Anything you want me to put out there?
If you could drop in a mention of MNET's work dealing with the current emergencies, it would help increase our standing in the eyes of the world. The less red tape and intransigence Silver had to deal with, the better.
Consider it done.
Lily signed off. Making a note to tell Valintian about Akshay Patel, Silver began to check the backlog of messages and data. She wasn't the least surprised when she looked up some time later to find an alpha bear seated in the large chair on the other side of her desk. It was as if some part of her had known he was coming.
Here.
He pushed across a disposable cup.
Got it at the Psy place down the road.
The experimental Psy Cafe, Silver knew, had been created by Sahara Kiriakis as a place for Psy to learn to socialize with those of all races, hopefully leading to more interracial pairings, particularly between Psy and humans. The Psynet needed humans, but their compliance couldn't be forced. Sahara was of the opinion that love would win the day. The menu had everything from tasteless protein bars to triple chocolate mochas with whipped cream and sugared almonds on top. From what Silver had seen, it was a thriving success among college-age adults. Curiosity was a powerful force, at least for Psy and changelings. In humans, it was tempered by more than a century of distrust when it came to the Psy. Sahara hadn't yet worked out how to ease human minds so they'd patronize the cafe. Valintian, however, clearly had no compunctions about walking into it. Picking up the disposable cup, she took a cautious sip. Hot nutrient drink, lightly flavored with what might have been peach.
Spasiba.
What did I say about thanking me for feeding you?
His smile took the sting out of the rumbling chastisement.
Can you break for a minute?
Yes.
A pause to intake the drink and loosen her tense muscles was only sensible.
I'll have to stay connected to the net and take any urgent calls that come in.
No problem. I just have someone with me who was missing you.
Turning back, he whistled. A little body ran pell-mell into the office. Dima's face lit up at the first sight of her.
Siva!
Running around her desk, he lifted up his arms. It would have been honest and rational to tell the cub that she was no longer interested in such tactile contact, but she'd never been cruel. Not under silence and not outside of it. This child didn't understand the change in her, saw her only as the woman who'd treated him with care during their acquaintance. Dima. Easily lifting him up despite his dense changeling build, she placed him on her lap.
Have you been behaving?
An enthusiastic shake of his head.
I climbed up the side of Denholm until Mama said if I didn't come down, I'd be in timeout for a week.
I see.
She redirected a telepathic contact to one of her team who was also telepathic.
Did you obey her instructions?
A gleeful grin.
I fell down and Mama caught me.
Curling up into her lap, he said,
Wanna see my bear?
Used to the bear desire to show off, Silver nodded, and the neatly dressed little boy in her lap turned into a shower of light that formed itself into the shape of a small white bear who stood up and growled at her as if saying, Boo!
He's a polar bear.
Silver had not been expecting that.
Chaos's genes,
Valentian said with a smile. Her comm rang at that instant with a call she had to answer. Instead of being impatient, Dima lay quietly in Silver's lap, her hand on the pristine white of his fur. Valentian, meanwhile, sat across from her doing something on his own phone, a scowl on his face. Halfway through, Dima shifted into a naked little boy who started to draw on the blotter on her desk while she made sure his small body didn't slip off her lap.
Thank you. I appreciate the promptness of your response, Silver said, finishing off the call.
Dima turned to face her the instant she was done.
Did you come to the city to visit me? She asked. Or do you have other plans?
Just to see you.
An exuberance of smiles before he whispered,
I hid in Uncle Mishka's truck, but he smelled me.
Wriggling up after that breathless recitation, he wrapped his arms around her neck.
I miss you, Siva. Are you gonna come back to Denholm soon?
Silver's gaze met Valentian's over the top of the little boy's head. And that huge heart, it was right there.
Come on, Dima,
he said.
We'd better let Silver finish her work.
The child, known for being a barnacle, immediately let go. The tone in Valentian's voice clearly that of an alpha speaking to one of his clan.
Bye, Siva!
A big kiss pressed to her cheek.
Did you drink your food? Uncle Mishka says it'll make you strong.
Releasing the boy's weight as he scrambled off her lap, Silver picked up the cup and took a long drink.
I'll finish it, she promised. Try not to fall off any more walls. You're only a small bear.
I'm going to be big, like my papa.
Running around to Valentian on that determined declaration, he said,
I got no clothes now.
What are you going to do?
Valentian asked.
We are in Moscow. You might be busted for public nakedness.
Dima shifted again. Laughing, Valentian picked him up, holding the cub against his chest.
You think you'll be free tonight?
He asked Silver. She shook her head.
I'm likely to be here all through the night.
She'd have to send her assistant home for a change of clothes at some point. Valentian just nodded and left, holding Dima, who was waving madly with one paw over his shoulder. Her office felt strangely empty after they were gone, as if all the air had been sucked out of it. Silver tried to shake off the odd sensation, but she found herself getting up and standing by the large window behind her desk, the drink in hand. Valentian and Dima exited the building a few minutes later. Valentian paused, looked up. So did the small white bear. They both smiled and waved. Silver lifted her cup in a silent salute, her free hand rising to press against the glass. Seconds later, they were gone. swallowed up in the flow of traffic around the building. Or they should have been. She saw them every step of the way, irrespective of how many others walked around them. When they finally disappeared into the bullet train station in the distance, Valentian likely having left his vehicle in the parking garage below the station, she felt the loss, like a cut inside her. The wrench was startling, and it had her listening. But there was nothing she wouldn't normally hear. Her audio telepathy was dead. Her comm began to beep. A telepathic alert sounded in her brain. Turning away from the window, she got back to work, but she made sure to finish the drink. Right when she would have begun to run out of energy again, a delivery was made to the office from the same cafe. Sandwiches and drinks for the entire office.
"Signed for by Alpha Nikolaev,"
the Psy delivery man said.
"All prepared under the watch of a Stonewater employee."
Devi took care to send all the food regardless.
"Valentian told me to make sure," she said to Silver. "It's so cute how he looks after you. I hope my mate feeds me, too."
Silver ate the sandwich marked with her name. The spread was the same one she'd enjoyed in Denholm, and she drank the accompanying nutrients. When Valentian messaged her 2 hours later to check how events were developing, she removed her earpiece and took the call on her personal phone.
"The humanitarian situation is under control," she told him. "The death toll currently stands at 507.
That was 507 too many for Silver.
"The majority died in the initial blasts, but we've lost at least 100 people as a result of the injuries they sustained during the attacks."
"You doing okay, Starlight?"
"Given my tiredness, my efficiency is no longer at its peak, but I haven't made any errors."
Silver's eye fell on the empty drink container on her desk.
"The food was appreciated."
"You're being sneaky, thanking me by using fancy words."
Silver toed off her heels, flexed her feet.
"I was brought up to be polite."
"Hang around with me long enough and we'll change that."
Hearing a horn in the background, she said,
"Are you in the city?"
"Ran in some of the young clan soldiers for a party. One of us will be coming back in to pick them up in a few hours."
"If you'd rather just stay in the city, you can use my apartment."
Her offer had nothing to do with emotion. She was just repaying the favor Stonewater had done her.
"You know what, Starlight? I'm going to take you up on that. I need to crash anyway. Did a double shift yesterday."
"I'll call Complex Security. Clear you in. Not that you need it."
A deep chuckle.
"Hopefully my Bigfoot-sized body won't break your couch."
"Take the bed. You'll be uncomfortable on the couch."
Not thinking too hard about what that would mean for her when she went to bed, she said,
"I have some information I need to give you. It's from Lily Knight."
Another urgent call lit up her comm screen just as she finished briefing him about the Patel conglomerate.
"I have to go."
It was 10 minutes later that she contacted Complex Security to let them know Valentian was cleared. They laughed, delight in their tone.
"Of course he is," the woman on the other end said. "He's your mate. Your scent imprint is all over him."
Silver was still thinking about the latter when she finally left her office. It was now 5 in the morning, and she'd sent her local staff home 3 hours ago. They'd returned to the office at 8, while she'd come in at 9, and she'd be on call to her human deputy her entire rest period. Her phone rang just as she reached the complex.
"Sergeant," she said, "a problem?"
"No, I saw you'd logged off and wanted to let you know I appreciate the vote of confidence. I know this incident is way beyond anything else I've handled."
Silver wasn't used to delegating, but her team wouldn't function at peak efficiency if she insisted on doing everything herself.
"I trust your readiness for the task," she told the human male. "But don't hesitate to call me if it's something that needs my input."
"Will do."
"I'll speak to you after I wake, so please make sure you're ready to deliver a concise briefing to bring me up to speed."
"Consider it done, Chief."
He signed off before she could remind him her actual title was Director of MNET, not that she expected her team to use that. She'd learned from watching Valentian lead, understood that informality did not mean a lack of respect, and that it could form deeper bonds over time. Clearing herself into the complex using the retinal scanner, she didn't jump when a wolf prowled up off the grass inside and, loping up to the pathway, padded beside her all the way to her apartment. She recognized that black coat with its fine threads of bronze as Margot Lutsenko, head of complex security and senior member of Black Edge.
Spasiba, she said once she reached her apartment.
The wolf didn't leave until Silver had opened her door and it had padded inside to check out the scents. Only after Margot was satisfied the area was safe did she step back and give Silver a nod before heading out. Silver shut the door, kicked off her shoes, and going into the bedroom, placed her organizer and purse on the bedside table. Her bed was made, with no visible signs of Valentian's presence. But when she slipped into bed after completing her nightly routine, the warm, earthy scent of him seeped into every cell of her body. Silver slipped into sleep in a heartbeat, Valentian wrapped around her like a blanket. The Human Alliance.
There are those who call me the bridge between disparate interests. I hope that is my legacy, that my children and my children's children into the future become the bridge whenever violence and horror threaten the world.
From the private diaries of Adrian Bowen Kenner, Peace Negotiator, Territorial Wars, 18th Century. Lily had been asked to take over the communications officer role in the Alliance because she had a natural ability to put people at ease in any given situation. She was also very good at judging the media currents and had the technical skills to ensure the Alliance's message got through without disruption. The work suited her, but she'd always understood that she was the conduit, and that was fine with her. She didn't want to be the person who made the decisions. That was Beau's role, and he'd been born for it.
We need you, she said to her brother, her hand locked tight with his where it lay against the white sheet of the hospital bed. The others want to bring Akshay Patel in, torture the truth out of him, even though all we have are rumors.
She swallowed.
They're angry and hurting, and it's pushing them into unconscionable decisions. I've managed to pull them back for now by reminding them you wouldn't greenlight something like that.
Once he might have. Her brother wasn't perfect. He'd made mistakes, many of them. But he'd learned, become a true leader, one who understood that a society couldn't be built on shadows and lies.
We're watching the Patels and their associates very closely. I've done some hacking, gotten a line into their communication systems.
Beyond her being the face of the Alliance, that was her greatest skill.
I don't think Akshay Patel is connected with the consortium. From everything we know, the consortium is made up of the power-hungry from all three races, and Hapma wants humans to stay separate.
She paused.
Of course, he could be a part of the consortium for his own ends. They do both want Trinity to fail, after all.
And Akshay Patel was ruthless enough to work with his enemies and to use Hapma so long as their goals aligned with his.
This isn't what I'm good at, Beau.
She could see those facts, but she didn't know how to use them to get the answers they needed.
The others on your team are so angry that they're blinded by their rage. You're our center and our compass.
Her brother had single-handedly brought humans out of obscurity. He was the Human Alliance. Lose him and they'd lose everything.
I need you.
A raspy whisper.
Wake up, Beau. Please.
But her strong, powerful brother remained silent, his body quiet, when Beau was all tightly controlled energy, vividly alive even when he wasn't in motion. The doctors had told her there was a high chance he might never wake, and if that ended up being their final conclusion, she'd follow Beau's wishes and pull the plug. Her brother had made it clear that if he was ever in this position, they were to harvest his brain and find out what was happening with the telepath blocking chip.
Not yet,
Lily whispered. I know you're too tough to die. We'll wait.
Chapter 45.
It takes a lot to anger a bear, but when enraged, they are merciless foes.
Found in the notes of Adrian Kenner, Peace Negotiator, Territorial Wars, 18th Century. Valentian threw Pavel against one wall, his twin against the other. They both took the impact with audible oofs of sound, shook themselves off. Pavel was the one to speak.
What the hell, Valya? The baby is sleeping.
He pinned them to the spot with his gaze.
Keep it down!
The other man settled his abused shoulders, a scowl on his face.
Yasha and I were just wrestling, not being loud. Your audience was being loud.
He glared at the sheepish-appearing group of bears, now looking anywhere but at him. Most were still in their pajamas as they geared up for an early start.
Did I hear bets being placed?
Yakov rubbed the back of his neck, a blush of color across his cheekbones.
Sorry.
He and Pavel came to join Valentian.
How's Silver?
Of all Valentian's clan, only his seconds and Nova knew exactly what had happened.
She's driving herself hard.
It infuriated him that she wasn't taking care of herself as she should, but he was more than capable of picking up the slack. Hell, he'd pet and cosset her if she wouldn't strike him dead where he stood for daring. Damn, but he loved her.
She's agreed to have kids with me.
Yakov blinked.
Huh, really? Even after they rewired her brain? Yes.
Pavel's dimpled smile was pure joy.
That's great news, Valya.
Valentian nodded, the puppy inside him a little bruised but not broken. Because she'd invited him into her home, told him to sleep in her bed, eaten the food he sent her, and banned him from telling anyone they weren't mated anymore. Not that Valentian believed the latter. Her cold, beautiful starlight might be missing inside him, but it wasn't gone.
What's the situation with the Black Edge border?
He asked after forcing his mind off his mate with conscious effort of will.
Juveniles playing I Dare You. Bet they weren't as good as we were when we played that game,
Pavel said.
Of course not.
Grinning, Yakov bumped fists with his twin.
Anyway, I cracked the heads of ours. Stasia told Black Edge of theirs. It's sorted. Good.
Valentian's phone buzzed with an incoming message. Reading it, he felt his heart kick.
Monique Ling has just arrived. Yvonne.
Yvonne Merkant was Silver's cousin and part of the security team at the apartment building where she'd lived prior to the attempt on her life. Valentian had reached out to the man after he'd spoken to Grandmother Merkant and confirmed that Yvonne had finally been cleared of any involvement in Silver's attempted poisoning. It had taken so long because he was the one Merkant perfectly placed to get the poison into Silver's apartment. Ina had fully briefed Yvonne as soon as he was eliminated from the suspect list. As for Monique Ling, she'd thrown Ina by turning out to have a powerful natural shield.
You would have skinned her if she hadn't?
Valentian had asked, his arms folded and his opinion of the breach of privacy clear.
Integrity is a useless relic when my granddaughter's life is at stake.
Silver wouldn't thank you for it.
He knew his starlight. She'd made her own choices, and they weren't always the same as Ina's.
The point is moot since I couldn't get into Monique Ling's head.
Ina was certain she'd gained all possible information from the woman regardless, but Valentian wasn't so sure. Conversational interaction was not Ina's forte.
I'm on my way,
he messaged back. After telling his seconds what was up, he left for the city. It was pure chance that he spotted his mother moving through the trees in her bear form. Galina Ivanova didn't normally come this close to Denholm. Heart thundering, he halted the car, stepped out, and she pounded away. Valentian could have caught her, but that would have achieved nothing. His soul, full of a sadness that was more than a decade old, he got back into the rugged all-wheel drive and drove on, It took Monique Ling 3 minutes to open the door after he knocked. Her mahogany brown hair was damp but combed straight, her bangs a thick wedge across her forehead, and her body clad in loose white pants and a white top.
Oh!
Her bow of a mouth curved.
You're Silver's man, I saw it on the comm channels.
I am.
Valentian leaned against the door jamb, arms folded and a smile on his face. Bears could be charming. Today he'd be charming. He had a feeling Monique would react better to charming than to Ina's brand of frosty politeness.
I was wondering if I could talk to you.
Sure!
She opened the door wide, all girlish happiness, despite the fact she was 33 years of age.
How's Silver?
Big and round brown eyes looked at him with an earnest expression.
She's icy, you know, in that sigh way, but she was always nice to me, even when I bothered her about random things like which color of cream was her favorite.
Valentian quickly reevaluated his first impression of Monique Ling. She was far more emotionally perceptive than might appear on first glance.
She's my mate,
he said with a wicked smile.
So by definition, she's doing great.
Ha! That's bear logic for you.
Clapping her hands, Monique walked him in.
I dated a bear once. Most fun I had in years.
Monique's living area was set up in a way similar to Silver's neighboring apartment, with the windows overlooking the city. But that was where the similarity stopped. Where Silver's was elegant gray and pristine, Monique's was a startling chaos of colorful clothes and objects against white. White sofa, white walls, white table, white chairs. One shoe he could see was bright red, a purse on a sofa vivid blue.
Excuse the mess,
Monique said with the bubbly insouciance of a woman used to men doing as she wished. Valentian found her sweet the same way he found other pretty, harmless things sweet. His bear would eat her alive in a second. That same bear wouldn't dare even take a bite out of Silver unless they were playing. His mate was titanium fire to Monique's gentle flame.
This is nothing compared to Denholm after a big party,
he said with a grin.
Imagine a whole clan of drunk bears and party decorations. I once saw my second-in-command fast asleep in bear form. Some wit had decorated her with string lights and crepe paper after painting her claws pink.
Stasia had not been amused at the twin stroke of drunken genius, after she stopped laughing.
Just when the bear's responsible thought she'd forgotten the incident, they happened to get drunk at a party and woke to find themselves encased in melted chocolate that had gone hard.
Oh, that sounds like so much fun!
Monique glowed.
You want coffee? I was just making some.
I wouldn't say no.
He followed her to the kitchen area, keeping things casual.
You know Silver's moved out.
I heard.
Monique's lips turned down.
I really liked her as a neighbor. She was the kind of person I knew would respond if I ever screamed, you know? She wouldn't just ignore it.
Yes, that was his starlight.
Part of the reason she moved was because of a possible security breach.
Her grandmother asked me about that on a comm call.
Monique pushed the start button on her coffee machine.
I was so surprised. This place is locked up tight.
She turned, leaning her hip against the counter.
Did they steal anything important?
Valentian knew from Ina that she'd framed the breach as aimed at stealing restricted data rather than an attack against Silver.
Doesn't look like it. Silver had taken all her electronics to work with her, so they were out of luck.
I do that too,
Monique confided as the rich scent of coffee filtered into the air.
I deal with so much classified corporate information that it's just not worth the risk.
Silver said you had a high-powered position.
He couldn't quite marry this bouncy woman with a suit-and-tie corporate.
In fashion, right?
She remembered!
A beaming smile as she turned to pour their cups of coffee, her machine one of the fastest brewers on the market.
I wish I could help you figure out who might have breached her security, but I swear I didn't see anyone suspicious. I would have remembered. My mom always says my mouth might be a runaway train, but my memory is a steel trap.
She handed him a mug of coffee.
And the people I've brought home with me have all been people I trust.
There it was.
You're searching for a mate?
He quickly followed with,
My eldest sister's doing that at the moment.
Rolling his eyes, he added,
I have to mop up all the broken hearts she leaves in her wake.
Thankfully, Peter's wasn't one. A single kiss, and the two had realized they were meant to be friends.
The woman's giving bears a bad name.
Laughing, Monique said,
I just can't find the right man or woman.
She took a sip of her coffee, sighed.
I'm totally open to anyone, but most people can't handle the fact I easily earn 5 times a normal income. Or if they can handle it, they want me to spend all my money on them. I love buying gifts, don't get me wrong, but I don't want it to be expected.
Valentia nodded, suddenly realizing he and Silver had never once discussed finances. She probably made 10 times a normal salary. As Alpha of Stonewater, he was the CEO of their business ventures, but he didn't think of that money as his. It was the clan's. He drew the same income as his senior staff, nothing extravagant. The rest of the money went toward raising and educating their cubs, keeping their territory strong, and further developing their business interests to the betterment of the clan as a whole. He wondered what Silver would say to that, and realized she'd understood exactly how the clan worked. From all he'd seen, the Merkins functioned the same way.
I had the same trouble until I found Silver,
he said to Monique.
Then, boom.
He thumped his fist against his chest. Monique made a melting face.
Oh, that is so romantic.
Of course, she made me work for it,
Valentian admitted, before casually asking,
You didn't have any luck the last time you were in Moscow? There might have been an earlier attempt to get into Silver's apartment, so we're looking at anyone who was in the building during the time frame.
Not really.
Monique bit her lower lip.
I mean, there was Jai Shivani from work, but it never went anywhere, and he's hardly the type to do industrial espionage, straight as a ruler, you know?
Valentian's instinct stirred.
Was he the only one?
Yep. I was really busy with work, hardly had any time to play. Even Jai was only here maybe 4 times.
A conspiratorial grin.
One time the power went out when some big deal processor melted down or something. That was fun. Ugh, too much fun. I ended up with the worst hangover.
Power didn't usually go out in buildings like this one. There were fail-safes upon fail-safes. Which was why Ina had come to suspect that someone had made very sure the power would hiccup that night. To date, however, she'd found nothing to confirm that Silver had been the target of that hiccup. The building housed countless high-profile individuals.
Vodka?
What else? I'm in Russia.
Monique giggled.
Actually, there might have been a bottle of tequila involved, too.
Valentian grinned.
You weren't worried about mixing business with pleasure?
Monique waved a hand.
Jai is in accounts. We hardly ever see each other except at the company Christmas party.
Valentian stayed another 15 minutes, but didn't learn anything else that might be useful. His next stop was the security control station, where Yvonne Merkant brought up the security feeds from the night of the power cut. Ina and Arwen had already been through these, but that was before Yvonne was cleared. The other man's demeanor changed from all business to ruthlessness camouflaged by a flawless black suit the instant he saw the gap in the recording.
This shouldn't happen,
Silver's cousin said, his blue eyes hard.
The security system has multiple redundancies. It should always stay on, power outage or not.
Why didn't you notice this at the time?
Yvonne found his organizer, checked the dates.
I was on leave a week on either side of the incident. My return briefing wouldn't have covered this.
He put down the organizer.
I would say I can't believe this was missed, except that the individual noted as being on duty that night was a man I had to fire only a month later when he came to work high.
Could he be the inside man?
Valentian asked.
Someone had to turn off the security system.
If he was,
Yvonne replied,
we can't question him. While high one night, he fell into the Moskva and drowned. He was also a talker. I wouldn't have trusted him with any kind of conspiracy that required keeping his mouth shut. I'll have Arwen trace his finances regardless.
Valentian stared at the blackness of the missing footage. and thought of what Silver had told him of a family with strong ties to the energy market and access to complex chemicals, whose leader was against racial integration, against Trinity, to the point that he might be funding a terrorist organization.
Anyone on your team connected to the Patel family?
Human conglomerate headed by Akshay Patel? Of course a merchant would have that information in his perfectly coiffured head.
That's the one.
Not according to my current data, but I'll do some digging.
If the cameras went off, does that mean Silver's internal security devices would have also gone off?
Yes. I helped her with the setup, and we locked them into the power grid to guard against failure.
His face displayed no expression, but had the very dangerous and highly trained man been a bear, Valintian would have said he was pissed.
I never considered that an enemy would take down the entire power grid to get to her. That shouldn't even be possible with the safeguards in place.
Yet someone had pulled it off, and the end result was that for 20 minutes that night, Silver's apartment had been open to intrusion.
Someone really wanted her off the chessboard.
Valintian's claws shoved against the skin of his fingertips.
I'll work on unearthing the traitor in our midst,
Yvonne said flatly. Valintian had a feeling that if there was a traitor, his cover wouldn't last long with Yvonne Merchant on the trail. The man reminded him of a spy from the silver screen, suave and handsome on the surface, deadly underneath. Leaving the other man to his task, Valintian went to his car, used the car's system to call Pavel.
I need you to find out about a man named Jai Shivani, who works in the Moscow branch of the same company as Monique Ling. Look for any connections to the Patel family, of the Patel conglomerate, headed by Akshay Patel. Give me a few minutes.
The other man hung up. As it was, Pavel didn't return the call until Valintian was about to get out at Silver's complex, the dash clock showing it was 8:40. She wouldn't normally be home at this time, but given how late she'd worked, Valintian was hoping she'd gotten some extra rest. He wasn't sure he could control his protective instincts if she was running herself ragged. The possibility of a telepathic whack on the head or not, he might throw her over his shoulder and kidnap her to his lair.
Jai Shivani is related to the Patels, third cousin twice removed,
Pavel said.
But distant relatives or not, he went to the same boarding school as Akshay Patel, and they seem close in the school photos I was able to unearth. Boarding school probably made them closer than many siblings. Fewer connections between them in their adult lives,
Pavel added.
But they both go to certain parts of the world at the same time every year. Family reunions, maybe.
Or planning sessions.
Send me everything you have.
Once that information came through, Valintian had a decision to make. He knew the Human Alliance had asked everyone to wait, but it was focused on Akshay Patel. Jai Shivani was a small fish not even on their radar, according to the information they'd shared with Silver. The man was also in Moscow, literally a 10-minute drive away. Valintian's instincts raged at him to head that way, eliminate a possible threat on his mate's life. But Silver was also the head of MNET and couldn't afford to lose the Alliance's trust. Claws releasing, he gritted his teeth, made a call.
I want to talk to him,
he said bluntly to Lily Knight after explaining that Jai Shivani's name had come up in the course of another investigation.
I'm right here, and I can be a scary bastard.
He was very careful not to promise to hand